Hi, my name is Mike, and I'm one of the ministers here at the church. I'd like to start by thanking you for listening to this sermon online. Before we get started, I'd just like to say that we truly hope that this audio recording will encourage you in your walk with God. But we also hope that it would just be supplemental to your relationship with Jesus, and that it would in no way replace the church that you should be plugged into or the spiritual leaders God has put in your life to shepherd you. So please, enjoy the next 30 minutes or so of this message. I pray it will challenge and uplift you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. God bless.
Good morning, church. That's better. How are you doing? Good. Praise God. But before we start, let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We ask, God, that you would open our hearts to receive your words this morning, and the courage to apply them to our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to talk about a topic that probably is not talked about a lot, and that is fasting. Before I do, let me give a little background on how this topic, how this topic came about. So, our small group fellowship, if you don't know, the small groups are, we have different groups of families meeting together to go through the Chosen. It's a TV series about Jesus, the life of Jesus. And so my small group, we met, and in one of the episodes, the topic of fasting came up. And we had discussions around that. Very interesting. My group always has interest. I think my group is the best group, actually. We always have the best discussions. So we had this interesting discussion on fasting, what it is, is it required still, you know, what's it about, the forms of it. And I shared my background and how I grew up with fasting and how we applied it from Nigeria and my background. And the people in my group loved it so much that they encouraged me to talk about it, to share it with the church. I didn't know how soon that was going to come, because when Mike told me I was going to preach today, I thought it was going to be a part of a series, which is what we usually did. And so I told my group, well, I'm not sure when I'm going to have the time to talk about this, because my next time I'm going to be preaching as part of a series. And so Mike would give me a topic to talk on based on the series. And so when I reached out to Mike to ask him about the topic, because I thought somehow he forgot to give me the topic. And he told me, no, you just pick a topic. We're done with the series. And I'm like, okay, seems like a sign. So I prayed more about it, and I felt God giving me the lead or leading to talk about it. And so I'm just going to be up here basically sharing my experiences based on scripture on the topic of fasting. And my hope is that it would encourage you, and it would encourage you to also make it a part of your spiritual growth and practice. Our anchor scripture for today is Matthew 9, 14 and 15. And it says, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. And a little background to this particular scene, what was happening here. John's disciples, you know, John the Baptist, they fasted regularly. The Pharisees were known to fast Mondays and Thursdays. So it was widely known, because of course the Pharisees would make sure you know that they were fasting, because you know, they are the Pharisees. And so everybody knew that the Pharisees fasted often. And John's disciples did the same. They fasted often. But then Jesus' disciples never fasted. And so John's disciples were genuinely confused. Like, why don't they fast? Does Jesus not consider this necessary? And so they approached Jesus with the question. And Jesus gave them an interesting response, which is that he is the groom, because, you know, the church, Jesus is the groom of the church, and we are all invited into the wedding, into the wedding as guests, and we are also the bride, actually. But anyway, Jesus is the groom, and Jesus was saying that you don't fast when you are feasting. That doesn't work well, right? You cannot be fasting when there is a feasting, a wedding feast going on. And Jesus said, I'm here physically with my disciples, with you guys. And so there is no need for you to fast right now, because I'm right here. But there will come a time when I'm no longer here physically. I'll still be with you spiritually, but I'll not be here physically. Then you can fast. And so that brings us to what exactly is fasting according to Scripture. What does fasting mean? The Hebrew word for fasting is tsum or som. And the meaning is to abstain from food, to deny oneself food for spiritual purposes. The Greek word which is used in the New Testament is nesteo, and it means to fast, to abstain from eating, to willingly go without food for spiritual devotion. And so bringing all those together, fasting is a voluntary, purposeful abstaining from food and sometimes water, fully or partially to seek God, humble oneself, repent, intercede, or pursue spiritual clarity and power. And we're going to look into more of that as we go on. So fasting involves self-denial, a period of abstinence, humbling oneself before God, intentional interruption of one's normal routine, and turning bodily hunger into spiritual focus. Before we go further, I want to talk about what fasting is not. Fasting is not dieting. Dieting can be a byproduct of fasting. For example, if you wanted to lose weight, you could fast. But don't confuse that with spiritual fasting. Because if you're fasting to lose weight, that is dieting. But if you're fasting for spiritual purposes, you could lose weight as a byproduct. But that is not your focus. You could have your body system cleansed, because, you know, fasting often cleanses your body system. But that is a byproduct. That is not the focus of why you're going into fasting. So it's important to have that distinction in your mind, that when you go to fast, you're doing it for a spiritual purpose. It's okay, it's fine to if you wanted to fast for dietary purposes. But if you want to fast for spiritual purpose, you need to understand that you're not dieting. You're actually doing something spiritual. Fasting is not starvation. We have a saying when I was growing up. If you fast without praying or reading the scripture and praying, that's just starvation. That's not fasting. So if you fast but you didn't pray, you're just starving yourself. Because you have to combine fasting with prayer for that to be the spiritual activity. Fasting is not punishment. If you ate too much the previous day and decided to fast the following day, that's fine and good. But for spiritual purposes, fasting is not punishment. You can decide, oh, I ate so much during Christmas, now I'm going to fast for spiritual purposes. It's important to make the distinction. You're not fasting because you want to punish yourself. You're fasting because of a spiritual benefit you hope to get. So fasting is an intentional spiritual discipline. Now, let's go into the crux of the matter. But why do we need to fast? Do we even need to fast? Now, I have several points in the next following slides, of which I'm not going to go deeper into because of our time. But if you need my slides later on, I can willingly pass it on to you. So I'm going to go fairly quickly here. The first reason I have here is that we fast for repentance and returning to God. When hearts drift, fasting becomes a physical sign of spiritual turning. But hold on. I need to make something clear. You're not fasting. You don't need to fast to repent. I need to make that clear. What I mean here is that you could use fasting when your heart drifts and you are trying to return to God. And there are some times when we fall into some kinds of sin where we find it difficult returning to God for whatever reason. You could add fasting to it. And there are several scriptures actually that talk about that. Joel chapter 2, 12 to 13, when God says, turn to me with all your heart with fasting. Nehemiah 9, 1 and 2, when they fasted while confessing their sins. Jonah 3, 5 to 10, when the town of Nineveh fasted in repentance and God relented from judgment. So there are some times when you are so sorrowful for a particular sin that leads you to go without food, to give yourself fully over to repentance. So the key idea here is that fasting helps us return to God with sincerity and brokenness. It's a form of brokenness. Secondly, we fast to seek God's direction and clarity. In seasons where decisions must be made, fasting sharpens spiritual hearing. And this point is one of the main reasons why I fast, many times that I fast. There are some times when you need to make some decisions, but it's not immediately clear from Scripture what you should do. I'll give an example. Before coming to Canada, I had the option, like when the opportunity to come to Canada to do my master's degree came up, another opportunity came up for me to go to Europe to study medicine and then maybe eventually come to Canada as a medical doctor, which is what my oldest brother did. He's a medical doctor here in Canada. So that looked like a viable path and attractive path. So now I will have two paths. Do I come to Canada immediately? Basically, should I come to Canada immediately or should I come to Canada later? Which path should I follow? There might not be the best path or there might not be the wrong path, but I still needed to make a decision. And I really didn't want to make a decision based on the flesh, based on what I just felt was right. I wanted to know what God had to say about it. And so I went into some days of fasting and prayer. Because I also remembered that sometimes when God opens a door, the devil opens seven other doors, sometimes, just to confuse us, right? And so I wanted to just know, God, what do you think? What is your will? And during that period of fasting, I was able to hear from God saying to come to Canada right then because he had an assignment for me. That's what he said. And since coming, I have discovered several of those assignments. And I have continued by His grace to fulfill them. Now, I don't know. Maybe if I had come later, I would still have been able to do those assignments. But, God's time, they say it's the best, right? And that time, God wanted me to come here. But I wouldn't have been able to know with clarity if I had not subjected myself to go into a period. Now, I must be clear. It wasn't because I fasted that God spoke to me. Let's make that clear. And that's why I said in this point that fasting sharpens your spiritual hearing. Fasting doesn't make God speak to you. God is always speaking to you. Fasting helps you. It doesn't help God. Think about in those days where we had those radios that had antennas. And then you had to pull up the antenna to get a good signal. Sometimes you even had to wiggle it. Sometimes you even had to take it to maybe a higher elevation to get a good signal. When you do get a good signal, was it because of something the station did? The station was always playing, whether music or news, the same way. But now you can hear it better because of something you did. And that's what fasting does for us. It pulls up our spiritual antenna so we can push through the noise and be able to hear what God is saying better to us. The scripture says that our flesh and our spirit are always at loggerheads. The flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do. The spirit wants to do what God wants him to do. And so we are always fighting the flesh against the spirit. Fasting weakens your flesh to give your spirit an edge, to help you to be able to tune in better and hear God. When your flesh is weak, even physically, you'll be able to hear God a little bit better. That doesn't change God speaking to you. It just changes you hearing better from God. And we see so many scripture examples. I just picked three out of those. But there are so many examples from scripture. For example, in Acts chapter 13, we see the church fasting and praying and then hearing from the Holy Spirit to send Paul and Barnabas. They probably would have come to that decision by themselves without fasting. Or they probably would have heard that decision without fasting. But maybe there was just so many noise from the flesh. And they just needed, you know what? We need to give the Spirit an edge here. And so they went into a period of fasting. And they were able to hear better. We see in Acts chapter 14, when elders were appointed, Paul and his team actually went on a fasting and prayer to commit them to God for wisdom. Again, they did that because they just wanted better to hear better from God. And in Judges chapter 20, when Israel fasted to inquire of the Lord before a battle. The key idea here is that fasting clears the noise so that God's voice can be heard. It doesn't make God's voice louder. It instead pops open our ears so we can hear God better. Third, we fast for protection, deliverance, and breakthrough. Fasting is a spiritual defense in times of danger. There are several examples. Esther's 3-day fast, Ezra's fasting for protection, Matthew where Jesus talked about fasting and prayer for deliverance, 2 Chronicles when there was a national fast for Israel, for Judah's breakthrough. The key idea here is that fasting calls on God's supernatural help in battles we cannot win alone. 4, we fast to strengthen our prayer life. Fasting does not replace prayer. It intensifies it. Remember what I said? If you fast and you don't pray, you're just starving yourself. You have to add prayer to your fasting to make your prayer. Fasting helps you pray better, basically. That's what fasting is supposed to do. Not replace your prayer. It's not as though you fasted and then God magically hears what you wanted to say. No, you still need to pray. And we see several examples like that. When Daniel set his face before God to seek God by prayer and fasting. Nehemiah, when he was trying to decide what to do next after receiving the troubling news, he went into a period of fasting and prayer. You see in Luke, Anna, that the Bible says she always prayed and fasted night and day. The key idea here is that fasting amplifies our prayers, bringing spiritual focus and urgency. 5, we fast to seek God's favor and help in times of need. Fasting is a biblical cry for mercy and divine attention. Again, we see several biblical passages where people in the Bible fasted to receive favor and help from God. Key idea here is that fasting positions us to receive God's compassion. It doesn't increase God's compassion. It instead gives our hearts, helps ourselves to be in a better state, in a better position to receive it. We fast to prepare for ministry or assignment. Even Jesus fasted before stepping into ministry. So if you feel God calling you to start a ministry, maybe a prison's ministry to go preach to those in prison, or visiting people in the hospital, bringing them the message of the gospel, or just bringing them good gifts or whatever. Whatever ministry you feel God leading you to do, it's always advisable to fast and pray before stepping into it. And we see several examples again about that. The key idea here is that fasting prepares the heart and spirit for God's work. We fast to seek renewal, revival, and healing. The people of God fasted when they desired national or spiritual renewal. See several examples for that. Fasting tills the soil for revival. And finally, this is probably the most important reason why we fast. We fast because Jesus expected his followers to fast. Fasting is not optional. It is expected of us. See what Jesus had to say. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to fast or how to behave when they are fasting, he used the word when. When you fast, not if you fast. In other words, Jesus knew there would be a time when they would need to fast. Maybe not right then when he was with them physically. But he said, when you fast, do this, do that. So he expected that they would fast. Matthew 9, when Jesus says his disciples will fast after he's taken away, this was our core scripture. So the key idea here is that fasting is a normal part of Christian living. In my journey of faith, as I started to grow in my faith stronger, I realized that I needed to set apart a day of the week just to fast and just to pray and commit myself to God and just to help me to keep on being tuned up, so to speak, to hear from God, to be in God's will. So fasting is supposed to be a normal part of your Christian living. Now, forms of fasting, and this is what one of the people in my small group mentioned, that even when they hear about fasting, it's not immediately clear how exactly should we fast. What are the practical ways, examples? And that's what I want to do in this part. This is my last part before our conclusion. Forms of fasting as seen in Scripture. There is the absolute fast, which involves no food and no water. We see that with Moses, with Esther and the Jews, with Paul's ministry. Now, I wouldn't advise this unless you consult your doctor first, because you need water. The human body needs water, right? But the second fast, the normal fast, which is no food and water only, is a kind of fast that many of the times when fast is mentioned in the Bible, this is the kind of fast that is meant. No food, but water only. And we see different biblical examples. Jesus' 40-day fast is believed to be no food and water only. Now, Moses' 40-day fast that I mentioned in my previous example, which is the absolute fast, it's understandable that Moses fasted 40 days and nights without food and water. And it makes sense because God's presence came down physically with Moses there. And so Moses' body was transformed, so much so that when he came down, he was glowing so much, so brightly, that they couldn't even look at him. So it's understood that his body underwent some kind of transformation to enable him to be able to stay without food and water for 40 days. But for we normal folks, regular Christians, this is the one I advise. Do not do the other one. No food, water only. Many Old Testament and New Testament examples too. This is the type. Now, the sunrise to sunset fast is the type that I grew up with, which is you skip breakfast and lunch, and then you break in the evening. So even if you have, like, you know, growing up, my church did, you know, the beginning of every year, we went on a period of fast, which is like 21 days of fasting or 40 days of fasting. Some churches do even 100 days of fasting just to commit the year into God's hand and to pray for God's direction for the year. You know, other people do resolutions, but we grew up learning to do fasting and prayer to commit the year into God's hand. And this is the type we did, which is you just skipped breakfast and lunch. Then you broke every evening. You prayed and broke your fast. And then the next day you start again, morning, skip breakfast and lunch. And we see some examples in the Bible for that, actually, where Israel fasted until evening, where Saul commanded that no one was to eat until evening, when David and his men fasted until evening. So this is also a type of fast. And then finally, we have the partial fast, which involves restricting certain foods or pleasures. Examples are when Daniel fasted for 3 weeks, He didn't eat choice food. He didn't eat meat or wine, drink wine, and he didn't use lotions. So this is a partial fast where he ate food, but he didn't eat his choice food. He didn't eat luxury food. Also, Daniel and the Hebrew boys requested only vegetables and water for a number of days. And so that was another form of fasting. Again, from your spouse, you can decide together. It has to be agreed that you would abstain from your sexual intercourse to devote yourselves to prayer. And Paul says, when you do that, do not do that for too long to avoid being tempted. So the characteristics of this is that there is no luxury foods. For example, no meat. You can have no sweets or chocolates if that's your luxury food. So whatever is your luxury food, because what's the luxury food? So someone else may not be your luxury food. So whatever is your luxury food, you can decide to partially to fast from that and just eat plain food. You can also decide to fast from social media if you are the type that loves social media. To fast from entertainment, video games, whatever. But the point of this is that you are fasting. You're saying, God, I want to deny myself these pleasures to seek your face. So in conclusion, Jesus makes it plain that there will be seasons when his disciples will fast. Not because we're trying to look spiritual, but because the bridegroom has been taken away for a time. And our hearts long for deeper fellowship with him. Fasting is one way we say with our bodies what our spirits are already saying. Lord, I need you more than I need this meal. I need your voice more than I need comfort. I want your will more than I want my appetite. So here's the invitation. Choose obedience over convenience. Choose a biblical fast that matches your season and lifestyle. It could be absolute, normal, sunrise to sunset, or partial. And commit it to God with prayer. Remember, it has to match your lifestyle. If you are the type that does not care about social media, fasting from social media doesn't really make sense. Because fasting is supposed to deny you of something that you like. So if you don't care about movies or TV shows, fasting from those things doesn't really make sense, right? Because in the first place, you don't care about them. You fast not to impress people or God, not to punish yourself, not to use as a hunger strike to force God's hand, so to speak, to say, oh God, I'm not going to eat until you do this. That's not how, that's not why you're fasting. But to return to God, to hear him clearly, to stand in the gap, and to experience the kind of spiritual renewal that only comes when we make room for him. And my prayer for us today is, oh God, help us to make room for you. In Jesus' name, amen.